This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to this Christmas Eve edition of Sports Saturday. And happy to have Kyle Herschelman studio this morning. And hey, your hair's not purple yet.
Not yet. It will be, though.
It's going to be purple then, huh, Kyle?
Yeah, going to be purple. Litchfield raised over $1,300 for the MCCA. Altogether, the campaign between the student sections of the four Montgomery County high schools raised about $3,000. So.
Cool.
Should be pretty neat.
So when is the big unveiling
January,
of the purple?
January 6th at the Litchfield Hillsboro boys basketball game. So, you know, it's going to be a good opportunity anytime somebody comes up to me and goes, why the heck is your hair purple? It'll be a good opportunity to talk about the Montgomery County Cancer Association.
Your first comment should be, my hair's purple?
When did this happen?
How?
I was born this way.
But I do notice that you have put it off post-Christmas, so it won't be purple for any Christmas photographs.
Yes, I that was a kind of a caveat. I decided, you know, just for the sake of, my marriage and other things.
That's probably a good choice.
And in all honesty, Mary probably would have been for me doing it beforehand, but, you know.
Nice job.
I appreciate
my friend. Great job.
Like I said, we're going to be doing something again next year. Hopefully, we had a really good response and a lot of help from, especially, guys like, you know, Josh Stone and, Joe Vanzo and Rochelle McDowell and, Pat Rentz and Jason Cooper over at Litchfield. So it was good. I'm glad to see the kids get involved with it.
And with, you know, we talk so much about, you know, academics and so forth and so on. Part of academics is learning to give back to the community.
Absolutely.
And it may not be an actual class that you go to, but it is part of academics.
Well, and, you know, we just had a story in the paper on Thursday about the Litchfield boys and girls basketball teams helping out with the Christmas Basket Association. And I know other teams in the county and across the listening area have done similar things. So it's good whenever the coaches can kind of blend in life lessons with basketball and or other sports too.
Absolutely. And speaking of basketball, there was some history set earlier this week at Litchfield, and WSMI's Terry Tote had the call. It sounded like this.
Litchfield with the ball, leading 44-21, under 5 minutes to go in the game. There's Taylor Pope into the corner to Carnes. Brockmeyer grabs, shoots, scores! And that ties the school scoring record at 1,911 points. 46-21, and Abby Brockmeyer will have an opportunity to set the scoring mark for Litchfield High School with a free throw here. 46-21, Brockmeyer with 34 points. And there's history. Abby Brockmeyer has set the mark for the Litchfield Lady Panther basketball program. She now has 1,912 points, surpassing Ann Bloom Gonterman, who has observed this tonight in the stand with her daughter, Katie. So congratulations to Abby Brockmeyer. 35 points, Litchfield with a 47-21 lead. Whew, a bit of history tonight for the Purple Panther basketball program and for Abby Brockmeyer, who now gets a standing ovation from some of the crowd here tonight at Litchfield High School.
Awesome stuff. And we sat here a week ago and were speculating, well, would she do it in the Hillsboro game or maybe would it take her the third game to the holiday tournament? No, I'll just take care of it. One swoop, 37 points.
Yeah, I was covering the Panhandle School Board that night and just it never even crossed my mind. We were a little short-staffed thanks to somebody having a baby.
So insensitive.
Who could that be?
So I was covering the school board and hopped in my car, and the first thing I heard was Terry telling everyone that she had tied the record, and I was like, well, that's a pretty impressive performance there. So congratulations to Abby, and just an awesome accomplishment.
Yeah, it is, and it was. I thought it was very nice that Ann Plume Gonderman came down and was in the stands that night, and you know, very gracious letting Abby take over the lead in as far as the scoring totals are concerned. And it was, Ann kind of just admitted, and we've got an interview with her later in the program, it was going to happen.
And it's almost like Abby was just tired of hearing about it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take care of it now.
Yeah.
Ann's here. Seems good. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, and it's kind of amazing whenever you think about how long that Ann had that record. I mean, you know, I think they started girls basketball in 1979. So, I mean, I'm sure somebody held it before her. But, I mean, nobody on the 1,000-point scorer list is dated back before 85.
Well,
so
you go,
Val
Lightshoe
is the other
one. You go Abby
one.
Brockmeyer, Ann Plume, Val Lightshoe. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
You know, for Litchfield scoring, and Val and Ann played on the same team. So
yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, to have that mark for that long is really impressive.
It is.
Terry, obviously you've known Abby and her family for years, and I remember you talking about this Abby Brockmeyer girl when she was in junior high. Like, you're going to be so, can't wait till you see this girl play. And my goodness, she has exceeded all conceivable expectation.
Yeah, I think, and somebody asked me the other night at the ball game, is she the best post player you've seen? I said, in my years at the radio station, yeah, I think she's the best, by far, the best post player that I've seen in girls basketball.
And that's 40 years.
And that's almost 40 years worth here at WSMI, yeah.
Well, it's hard to compare her to, like, some of the other great players that we've had, because she's a different type of player.
Yes.
You know, I mean, whenever I was in high school, it was Molly McDowell and Virginia Waterman and those girls, and they were entirely different types of players. You know, they hit, you know, a lot of threes. They had kind of a slashing style a little bit more. And, you know, and Abby has done what she's done by and large without the three-pointer. So
So it's you know, and that's what makes our jobs fun. We get to see these young people compete and compete at a high level oftentimes, and we just get a kick out of it. It's really an honor to be able to do these games and to watch these kids participate and set these marks and do what they do. So.
She outscored Gillespie by herself that night in her record-breaking performance. And then, you know, if you talk to Abby, like, the record was nice, but I would imagine the win against Hillsboro later in the week, she probably enjoyed that just as much, if not more.
You know, she was, and of course, these two teams, Hillsboro-Litchfield, meet again on January 28th. So
for the conference game.
That's part two, and that's the conference game. So and that'll be a great matchup. It was always a great matchup near the end of the girls' regular season before the regionals start. But Litchfield the other night, not only did Abby have another good game with, well, I think 24 points is what she had, and, of course, Hillsboro did what they could to impede her as much as possible, and Abby did a terrific job. But I thought, you know, Val Furlong hit some big shots in the game for Litchfield. I thought Jade Taylor played a wonderful game the other night because what she did, not necessarily with scoring-wise, but what she did with the basketball, protecting it and playing good defense. And, you know, Litchfield had a plan to deal with Sammy Matouche and executed the plan. And that's not easy to do because she's a heck of a ball player. So.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I thought it was Litchfield's best team game that I had seen them in.
Yeah.
Taylor Pope, especially in the fourth quarter, did a very good job, kind of a box and one.
And she was playing with three fouls.
Yeah.
You know, she was in foul trouble in the first quarter and had to sit out for a while. And Taylor did a great job defensively against.
It's kind of like a little bit of a terrier thing. You know, you hear shout ball, ball, ball. You know, I mean, she's all over the court and did a good. Like I said, I mean, Abby didn't have her best first half.
No.
But to me, the change in that game came about 3 minutes in whenever Rob Corso switched his defense. You know, Hillsboro was up 6-0. They had Taylor Pope on Denzel Moore, which is a bit of a mismatch since I think Denzel's probably twice Taylor's height.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that severe, but you know.
She's taller. Yeah.
But they switched that. Yeah. They switched that. And, you know, after that, Litchfield really kind of came back and then kind of pulled out in front and were in control for most of the game.
And, you know, in the Hilltoppers, they were down by 10 at halftime and then they were tied after three quarters.
Some big threes.
Some big threes in that quarter. And Matouche hit a couple of threes and kind of got back in the ball game. I think Sammy finished with 14 points that night. But, that fourth quarter belonged to Litchfield. They just, you know, did a great job defensively. So
they were very impressive and did a good job passing too and finding open people. Like you said, Val Furlong had a really nice game. and just found some open people. And whenever Abby needed a score, you know, she was able to do that too. But she, you know, a lot of her points were coming off offensive rebounds. Sometimes she almost uses the back, sometimes she almost uses the backboard as a way to pass to herself.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, it seems that way.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's that way.
Yeah,
but it
I'm not sure
way.
It is.
That's Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. but you know, if you look at it, I mean, she can get the offensive rebound over some players, you know, and some really good players too. I mean, and Denzel Moore did a really good job guarding her, throughout the game too. Mm-hmm. So.
And, you know, and Maddie Miller had a little foul trouble for Hillsborough, and I think that certainly helped, you know, that changed complexion of the ball game when Maddie got into foul trouble, too. So, you know, it's one game out of many, and these two teams will see each other again in the conference game on January 28th. So.
And I know neither one of you guys is necessarily surprised by the success Litchfield has had here to start the year, but I personally did not expect Litchfield to get to Christmas with a better record than Hillsborough.
Well, I don't know. That's the great thing about sports. You never know what to expect sometimes. I think I told you I thought Litchfield would have a pretty good record this year. And I fully expected Hillsborough to have a good record this year. So, and, you know, the top teams in the conference are probably going to have one or two losses. I don't know that you can go through the South Central girls season and not have a loss somewhere.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of parity. I mean, Greenville has got a really good team this year. Mm-hmm. Carlinville is capable of
beating
a lot of people
too. Carlinville's a scary team. They're athletic. They are really athletic.
Well, and Gillespie didn't play a great game against Litchfield, but, you know, I mean, they've also had some pretty good games in that mix too. So,
well, with Gillespie, you know they're going to be in your face.
Sure.
You're always going to get a scrappy battle with Gillespie. That's the thing about Gillespie. So,
you're going to be tired after you play.
You're going to know you played a ball game after you play Gillespie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, earlier in the week, Terry Toad had a chance to catch up with Ann Plume Gontcherman to get her thoughts on her career as a Litchfield Lady Panther. We will get to that conversation following these messages on Sports Saturday.
Your name has come up here in recent weeks. Litchfield High School has Abby Brockmeyer playing for them, and that has brought back some memories of Litchfield girls basketball. And my goodness gracious, you were on a team that I feel put girls basketball on the map in mid-Illinois. Can you give me some recollections about how you got interested in playing basketball and what age did you get interested in playing basketball?
It actually started in grade school. I went to Zion Lutheran, and I wasn't, of course, being tall, everyone felt like you needed to play basketball or volleyball or one of those sports. I was pretty uncoordinated, and I probably got my own rebound 10 times before I actually would make a basket, but it just started then. Started in grade school, and as I got in high school, it just seems like a natural transition to continue playing. So,
when was it that things got pulled together as far as the coordination and everything?
As a freshman, I started on the varsity team. The funny thing, I feel like Meg Leitchu was a very good influence on me and a good mentor for me. She kind of pulled me along, and I was very naive and didn't quite have it together, and like I said, she was a good mentor for me. So probably my freshman, sophomore year.
You played with a lot of absolutely terrific athletes, I feel. When you start comparing basketball teams and just pure athleticism, this has got to be one of the really good teams in the history of Litchfield, with Val and Marcy Harkey,
Marcy,
right?
Sally Sharp.
Melvin, was it Denise?
Right, Melvin. Right. And then Holly Hampton came up she was a freshman when I was a senior.
Did you all just get along so well that it showed up that way on the court?
Yeah, I believe so. It didn't matter if they were on top of me and double blocking me and triple teaming me. It still didn't stop us as a team because, like you said, if they were on top of me, they couldn't stop Val. And then they had to split up, and if Val wasn't making them, then Marcy Hartke was making them. So they really couldn't stop us as a team. we all were good friends as well outside of the team, which was very important.
A lot of the games you guys played really weren't that close because you were such a dominating team. Who were the teams that you remember some tough competition against around the mid-Illinois area?
Well, the funny thing is it seemed to go in spurts and years. I recall for a while, McComas had a really good team. And of course, Carlinville, that was a big rivalry with father-son coaching. And they had some dominating players for a while. Those are probably the big ones I recall with big wins for us. But you're right, it unfortunately, the conference we were in didn't give us tough enough competition, I think, when we finally did get to state. It was kind of a shakeup because we weren't used to the competition, a heavier competition. So I was probably one of the most non-aggressive persons on the team, but there again, Val and Marcy, they were really good, scrappy players.
I think one of the really neat victories you guys had in the postseason was the super sectional game against Quincy Notre Dame. You really pounded on them. I think this game was played at Carlinville High School, if I remember right.
Right.
And that got you into the quarterfinals where you lost a tough battle in overtime against Elgin St. Edward, which eventually ended up winning, I think, the state tournament that year.
They did.
The experience itself of being in the postseason and going deep into the tournament, is that a great memory for you?
It is. It was just surreal, especially going, at that time it was over at Champaign, it was massive place when you're coming from small town and the court seemed about 10 times bigger than normal, although I know it was, and it was just the size of the whole arena, it was heartbreaking, but it was an incredible memory. Because I remember coming from, freshman year, we would practice. We didn't ever get the new gym, the new Methodine. And we got to practice in the auditorium where they put on plays and had PE classes. And,
on the stage?
Yes, on the stage.
Yeah, on the old stage,
by
yeah.
By the time we were junior seniors, we had graduated to the new gym. So I feel like we made strides in that number of years.
Tell me a little bit about girls basketball in your era compared to what it is nowadays. Maybe you don't have a chance to keep up with it very much, but there's a difference there, isn't there?
It's huge. I don't know. Like I said, I was pretty non-aggressive. And actually, Meg Lightson and I, we always have a real good giggle over this, but when I was a freshman and we'd be practicing. And I would bump into someone or whatever, and I would always say, excuse me, or I'm sorry. And her and I just laugh about that now because she just yelled at me one time. She goes, if you say I'm sorry one more time, she just had to toughen me up. And I don't know if I could have made it the way they play now. It's very aggressive, and it's totally different. So it's a lot rougher game.
Ann Plume Gonderman, we appreciate Ann taking the time to talk with us, and it was great, as I mentioned, to see her the other night when Abby Brockmeyer broke the scoring record. So, Ann, thank you very much. Delightful lady, and just a real classy person. So.
And the fact that she was there that night, you can't make that stuff up, because I highly doubt she was going to follow Abby around until she broke the
record. No, she told me, she said she would be at the games until Abby broke. Yeah. She was going to be there.
Was that her first game of the season going to?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because she mentioned she was possibly going to be at the next game as well and when it happened. So.
And it was Ann's spirit that broke the record.
There you go.
Was that her career high? Abby?
37? Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was her career high. Yeah.
I don't think she'd ever scored 30. I think 29 might have been her career high.
You know, some night, and it's funny, as you as a reporter, Kyle, and you as a broadcaster, Tim, and we've seen games, and you have certain feelings some nights, about, okay, the way this game starts, gosh, could this thing actually happen tonight? And that's what I was thinking the other night, because you know, she had a consistent first quarter with the second quarter, and I'm going, this thing, you know, you kind of had a feeling, gosh, this thing might happen tonight. I, you know, it's going to take 35 points, but, and that would be a career high, but stranger things have happened.
That's what I was going to ask you, Terry. When did you, broadcasting the game, have a feeling she's going to do this tonight?
Well, about 3 minutes into the third quarter, I said, this is going to happen. And I didn't know that it was going to happen. I thought maybe more towards the end of the game, but it happened with about 5 minutes to go in the game. And, you know, it was exciting. I mean, you kind of get goosebumps thinking about it. And you know, and I had the pleasure of watching and broadcasting some of Ann's games, you know, the Lady Panthers and back in the mid 80s and when they were the number one ranked team in the state, for goodness sakes. And really, you know, them and Carlinville and Nokomis were all really, really good basketball programs at the same time. But you know, it was just quite a pleasure just to see it happen. And, you know, when it did happen, it happened so quick because the ball moved so quickly that Abby got the ball underneath, boom, put it up and in, and their chance for the 3-point play. And I'm going, oh wow, this is kind of a great way to have it happen, where she ties it, and then everybody gets a chance to take a breath, and she gets a chance to actually set the record with a free throw. So.
And for the way that she scored most of her points throughout her career, perhaps it's fitting that it came on an and one.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really is. So
well, and I think I talked about it last time I was on. Abby has the potential to put up those kind of numbers every time a game, every time she goes out on the floor. Mm-hmm. The thing is, she's not needed to do that.
Right.
You know, and also that's not the kind of player she is. You know, I mean, you watch and she does pass to, you know, the open people. She tries to get her other teammates involved. You know, and I think that says a lot about the kind of player she is.
Yeah. So that, you know, they were two good teams playing the other night. I'm telling you, they were two really good basketball teams playing the other night, and Litchfield got the better end of the stick the other night. So we'll
see
what
happens. Had a number of games where they don't give up 37 points to a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They give up 37 points to Abby, and now the question is, how high will she go?
Yeah.
On the county list.
Yeah. On the county list. Got a real good shot at 2,000.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I mean, pretty quick here.
There's a decent chance she'll get 2,000 by the end of the Carlinville tournament, yeah. And whether or not she'll be able to catch Venetia Waterman, who's, I mean, I think
almost
she's about
24.
Yeah, she's about.
She's got to average 27 points a game the rest of the season to catch her, and that's including only one regional game.
Sure,
you say that. That sounds doable.
It's doable, but it's a lot.
It's a lot of points.
And also, I'm not sure how important that is to her.
That's the next thing, you know. The success of the team, I think, is, you know, the driving force now is to get as good as you can get, heading into the postseason, because they're going to be 3A again this year. So, and I think it's a team that's going to compete. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
the rate they're headed, they could get a top four seed in that subsectional. I mean, because they've played well.
Yeah. Interesting. Gosh, that's the thing about sports. You never know.
You never know.
But her scoring 27 points a game gives Litchfield an awfully good chance to win every game.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. It doesn't hurt. That's for sure.
When you have the best player on the floor at all times, you've always got a chance to win every game you play.
You know, and she's getting, and she's drawing, you know, 2 to 3 defenders each time down the floor, too. But that's also going to open up opportunities for other people. You know, you saw it with Lauren Carnes a couple times,
yes.
You know, in the game against, Hillsboro and she's also a game changer on defense, you know, much in the same way that like Dylan Miller was for Hillsboro.
Just to her length. Yeah.
Yeah. She has the ability right now to, block a shot without getting that foul called on her. You know, she's got, kind of has her timing down. So, you know, maybe earlier in her career, some of those blocks might have been a little bit late or a little bit early and would have been fouls. But.
And is able to help bring the ball up.
Yeah. Yeah. Complete player.
Yeah.
And score from while sitting down.
Yeah. So.
You can do it all.
That's pretty amazing.
Like, literally.
Is that a 4-point play now?
It should be.
Degree of difficulty
comes
set up.
We're going to the upper deck, and the degree of difficulty is 7.2.
It's like the McDonald's commercial with Larry Bird.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Was it Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan? Whichever one back in the day, yeah, shooting from the rafters.
Yeah.
The East German judge would disagree with you.
Yeah. The East German judge is always going to disagree.
This is true.
Just can't get them on board. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk with Hillsborough head coach Brett Tekin following these messages.
9:33 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Kyle Herschelman.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. We're going to catch up with Brett Tekin in a moment. Also have Rob Corso on the way for you this morning on Sports Saturday. Of course, starting on Monday, all sorts of holiday tournament hoops.
Yes, indeed, and we'll have coverage on each evening from the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament, beginning about 6:30 each evening. But the girls' tournament starts at 12:30 at Carlinville High School. In the main gym, in the big gym, Gillespie will take on Staunton at 12:30, and then in the middle school gym at 2, Nokomis takes on Greenfield Northwestern. Carlinville plays East Altonwood River in the high school gym at 5, and then back in the middle school gym at 6:30, Litchfield takes on Bunker Hill in the girls' portion of the tournament. And in the boys' portion of the tournament at 2, and all these games will be in the high school gym, at 2, Gillespie takes on Staunton, Hillsborough Mount Olive at 3:30, Carlinville versus East Altonwood River at 6:30, and Bunker Hill against Litchfield at 8. And again, you kind of like it where the girls' games and the boys' games are kind of back-to-back as far as the schools are concerned that have boys' and girls' teams in there. At Riverton, Hillsborough will take on Auburn at noon. That's a dandy game right off the bat.
I was going to say,
pool play.
One of the top four teams in that tournament. I mean, there's four teams that had only, one or zero to two losses, mm-hmm.
Hayworth meets Warrensburg Latham in the first game, Riverton versus Tremont after that, Hillsborough Auburn at noon, Midwest Central against Porta, Clinton versus Sherrard, who I think won the tournament last year, and then Williamsville and North Mac at 4:30 at Riverton.
And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsborough Lady Hilltoppers, Brett Tekin. And Teek, Merry Christmas and good morning, sir.
Merry Christmas. Good morning.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Teek, your just a couple of thoughts about the game the other night against Litchfield in the big rivalry game, after the Toppers did a tremendous job of battling back in that third quarter and tying things up, fourth quarter kind of got away.
Yeah, we came back and we really talked about just trying to take it little bit at a time, and then really we came back and stormed back a lot quicker than I anticipated us being able to do. And then, like you said, it just kind of we didn't shoot the ball quite as well, missed a couple shots, and then we just couldn't contain Brockmeyer on the boards.
Teek, were there any common denominators that you see between the Greenville game and the Litchfield game?
Really, mostly, I thought we just didn't shoot real well in either game. We shot 28% the other night, and you're not going to win a lot of games whenever you shoot that poorly. And we didn't shoot real well in the Greenville game either. So really, that had a lot to do with both of them, I believe.
And teams go through stretches like that once in a while.
Oh yeah, it game of basketball is hills and valleys, and you go up and down. And one night you might look like you're unbeatable, and you shoot real well, and then the next night it seems like you can't throw in the ocean.
Well, coming up now, Teek, in the Riverton tournament on Monday, your opening round game at noon, you get to take on Auburn. Boy, that's a dandy matchup right off the bat.
Yeah, it's a little different format this year. They're down to 12 teams, and they do it three pools of four, and us and Auburn ended up being not only in the same pool, but getting to start the tournament with each other. So we played them three times last year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Kyle Hirschman's joined us here this morning as well.
Brett, how do you kind of prepare yourself for a tournament like that where, honestly, you could go 4-0 and still finish third in the tournament?
Yeah, Coach Allen and myself have been talking about that. It's really kind of a strange setup. You just got to go and take one game at a time and really just try to win that game. And there's some things that are out of your control, and it's kind of frustrating, but you just got to go and see if you can get to 4-0 and then let the chips fall where they may, really.
Well, and you guys shoot, I mean, especially Sammy, she, you know, shoots free throws pretty well. She hasn't probably enough practice this year. You know, I think it looks like she's averaging, you know, probably close to 10 free throws a game or better. So, you know, you guys should be in pretty good shape with that. But like I said, that Auburn game ought to be a tough one.
Yeah, we shoot free throws real well at the team. We're shooting over 70% of the team from the free throw line. So if it does come down to that, we like our chances. But yeah, starting off with Auburn is going to be a real battle for both teams.
And you got to find a way just to stop them somehow. You know, that's the throw a monkey wrench into their offensive plans.
Yeah, like I said, we saw them three times last year. Haven't had a chance to see them this year, but we're pretty familiar with them. So we're going to go and try to game plan for them a little bit. We already started doing that yesterday, and we'll have a shoot around before we leave on Monday, and hopefully we can slow them down a little bit and find some ways to score.
Deke, how would you assess the Topper season here right before Christmas?
Up and down a little bit. We got off to a great start, winning the Taylorville tournament, and really the first few games after the tournament, and then we have kind of hit a little bit of a lull. I didn't think we were playing defense real well. I thought we played well defensively against Litchfield the other night, except we kind of got beat up on the boards a little bit, and that's something that we have to get better at. We have to rebound better than what we have been, and that's probably really what I think is our biggest downfall this year is our rebounding. We got to get better at it. Offensively, other than the Litchfield game and Carlisle, we didn't shoot real well, but offensively we played pretty well most of the year, but rebounding has been something we got to improve on.
Brett Teakin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and Merry Christmas, and good luck at Riverton next week.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to everyone there.
Thanks, Teak. There you go.
Hillsboro Auburn, that'll be a humdinger.
That could be a championship game I'm telling you right now.
Well, they met in the regional championship last year.
Yeah. Well, and he mentioned the Carlisle game, too. He's right. They didn't play particularly well that game. You know, Sammy didn't have quite as many points as she usually did going into the third quarter, and then really turned it on in the third quarter, the fourth quarter. You know, and if they can continue to do that and build up some of that, I think – they'll carry that momentum on the rest of the season too.
Yeah. You know, and there are going to be times when, you know, and Sammy's going to carry the bulk of the scoring, but there's going to be times when somebody else is going to have to step up for the Toppers.
And they have that ability too with Maddie Miller and mm-hmm. Denzel Moore especially. You know, both of them are probably averaging close to double figures too.
Yeah. But Litchfield did a good job on them the other night.
They did. They really and they kind of had that, you know, zone. And like Brett said, they didn't shoot as well as they would, and they didn't get any second chance points because Brockmeyer kind of controlled the rebounding, and they also didn't get a whole lot of points in transition, like steals at half court, and that's a big part of their game too.
That's a huge part of their game for Hillsboro. Yeah, you know, they'll pick your pocket at midcourt.
And that's how they kind of pulled away from Carlisle the other night, mm-hmm. and you know, that's where they've had a lot of success.
And other girls' matchups at Lebanon, Southwestern will play Columbia at 11 that morning. At 9:30 prior to that, Greenville takes on Sparta. Mount Olive will take on Steelville Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And that looks like that's where our local end of
nothing like
team.
A 9:30 game the day after Christmas to get you going.
Yeah. Nothing like it.
That was one of the changes that Darren Zadeev made at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament was – getting bull gyms utilized. They don't have to start at 9 or 10 o'clock the
best
day after Christmas.
Best thing he ever did.
Yeah.
Especially whenever Lincolnwood was in there. Lincolnwood would always drag in and just, you know, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Well, it's no time to be playing basketball.
And another thing that I thought that Darren did that was just a really good idea was championship night.
Yes.
With the girls and boys games on the championship night on the same night.
And heading into the tournament this year, one would expect to see the Litchfield Lady Panthers in the championship game, but a lot of basketball between here and there. And joining us on the phone right now is the Panthers head coach, Rob Corso. Rob, Merry Christmas and good morning, sir.
Merry Christmas to all you gentlemen. Good morning.
Rob, how's the card game going this morning, buddy?
I tell you what, I got beat last night. my niece goes to Rolls-Hulman Institute. I think she was counting cards. So I end up on the short end of the stick. It was a good time.
Well, Rob, other than that, you had a pretty good week in terms of Abby breaking the scoring record and a win over Hillsborough. So just kind of talk about the week that it was for the Litchfield basketball team.
I tell you, it was kind of bizarre. We didn't have school. The kids had their finals last Thursday and Friday, so it's kind of an interesting dynamic because they weren't in school, and we always are afraid when we have, you know, games when there's not school. The kids are out of their routine, so we didn't know how it was going to go. And I had no, the Abby throwing down 37 against Gillespie was totally, I mean, we know she's good, but my goodness, and the fact that Ann was there, that was really awesome.
And then you finish that great historic night up with the win over Hillsborough a few days later.
Yeah, and that was, I mentioned it to one of the newspaper people here, this is the best team effort we've had all year. Everybody was playing at top level. Everybody bought into the defensive, and that's how we won that game against Hillsborough, was playing really good defense. And everybody bought in. It was a really great team effort.
One player that I mentioned a couple of three times during the broadcast, I thought, Jade Taylor, I thought, had a really good game, not necessarily scoring a lot of points, but taking care of the basketball. And, you know, Hillsborough likes to put a lot of pressure on teams, and I thought Jade did a really outstanding job.
She did, and she's been getting a little more confident in herself. We always knew she had the physical talent, but, you know, being a point guard, it's really a – I don't know how much, I guess people realize that is the, you know, it's the straw that stirs a drink. And if she's playing well and things are going like that, I mean, it makes our team so much better. She's such a nice kid and she's so athletically gifted. She's just very, you know, unassuming person. So sometimes that doesn't come out, but, no, she was outstanding.
Rob, Hillsborough got off to a 6-0 lead. You called the timeout and you immediately, your team responded. Following the timeout, what was it you spoke about in that timeout? If it's not a state secret,
it's not.
Okay.
It's not. we started out man to man. We had a bad matchup with Taylor Pope on Moore. We just didn't have the right matchup because we wanted to put Abby on the twos just for the matchup. And then we didn't. We gave it a shot. We didn't like it. We switched to the box and one. And we also, I remind the girls that, you know, offensively, just be more patient. You know, Abby was pressing a little bit. I mean, her and Sammy have a real good relationship. And, you know, when you're buddies like that, you want to, you know, maybe try a little too hard. We settled down a little bit and started playing some basketball.
Rob, that's the thing about coaching. You can have a plan going into a game, but the ability to recognize early, okay, that's not working. We must do something else.
Yeah, and I have a really outstanding assistant coach, Nicole Logan, who is in my ear constantly, and that's what I wanted to be, help remind me to do things. There's a couple times early in the season, I'm a very stubborn person. I want to have a plan. I want to stay with it and let it work out. And sometimes, you know, I need to listen to her, and then she's in my ear a lot, and she's very knowledgeable. So it's just nice to have her sitting next to me during the game.
And Robin, you know, you built a 10-point halftime lead. Hillsborough came back with a great third quarter, tied it up, so it boiled down to an 8-minute ball game. And I think, you know, the Litchfield defense really rose to the occasion in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, when you're in the box, you're going to give up some three-point shots, and the Teakin girl hit a couple, and I don't remember if somebody else hit one, but, you know, I think we were getting a little tired, too, because I only played, you know, second half. I think I only played six kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we were getting a little worn down a little bit. But, you know what, Hillsborough's a good ball club. You know, they're going to make some shots. But, yeah, we mentioned that, hey, it's an eight-minute game now. We just got to grind it out. I think offensively we got the ball where it needed to be, and we executed.
Rob, we got Kyle Herschelman in the studio this morning. His hair's not purple yet, but it will be in short order.
Outstanding. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's going to be great, Rob.
He's very excited.
Yeah.
And if you want to join him, Rob, I'm sure Kyle can make arrangements for that, you know.
I thought maybe the beard. I don't really know. Everything on top.
Your thoughts about going into the Carnival Holiday Tournament here with the fact that, you know, you have several games in a span of 4 days.
Yeah, and I heard you guys mention right before I came on that, you know, after Christmas, you got to kind of get yourself back into, hey, we're playing some basketball, ladies. Hope you enjoyed your holiday, but we got to get to work. And we're going to have a shoot around in the morning. We play, I think we play in the evening on the first night, which I think is good. Gives a little time to get ourselves together, but yeah, it's a grind, and you know, we're gonna have some tough games there, especially I think that you know, the Gillespie game is going to be tough for us. So, you know, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah. Rob Courts, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers, thank you for a few minutes of your time today, sir, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too, guys. Have a nice holiday. We'll see you.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.
And it would be a pretty big surprise if Litchfield is not in the championship game on what would it be Thursday night.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But, you know, that's why they play the games.
It is basketball.
It is basketball. And
what was the last year they weren't in it?
That is a good question.
It's got
it's
a streak going
been
on.
Quite a
it's
while.
Been at least 5 years.
Yeah, probably even longer than that.
Yeah.
Short of Brockmeyer missing the bus. It's just hard to imagine.
She's actually probably closer to Carlinville where she lives.
She probably won't even be on the bus. Yeah, she'll probably just drive there.
Where she lives than coming from Litchfield. So, you know, the interesting thing to me will be is if Litchfield can carry on the, you know, like Rob said about the total team thing. You know, if you continue to see the progression of players like Jade Taylor, who looks – just 100 times more confident on offense. She looks more like she does on a soccer field, you know, where she's the all-time, you know, leading scorer at Litchfield. You know, it players like her and Lauren Carnes and Taylor Pope and Val Furlong and Emily St. John and Greta Fleming, and if they can continue to make that progression during the season,
and
that'll
we talked, Tim and I talked earlier today about role players. You know, you have you know a player or two on a team, and then you have to have role players that fill certain needs on a basketball team. And Litchfield's got that. I mean, we weren't really sure that was going to be the case. I kind of thought they would be okay this year. And it's turned out that up to this point, they have been. And, you know, Val Furlong is able to hit some shots from the outside from time to time. I think Jade Taylor and Taylor Pope have improved dramatically, both defensively and with their ball skills. So, you know, looks like things are rolling along pretty good for Litchfield right now.
And like Rob said, too, it's nice to have Nicole Logan come on as an assistant coach, because it's a similar thing with Bob Allen at Hillsborough, is where you have a person with head coaching experience and you know just a really good basketball mind, you know, coming on. And I mean, and not that Andy Kassebaum wasn't the same thing, but you know, I mean, it's a different perspective too. You know, added into that, so she's been a really good addition to the coaching staff.
Kyle Hirschman joining us in studio this morning on Sports Saturday. We need a break. We're back with more in a moment.
9:53 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Kyle Hirschman.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And the postseason pairings, or the sites, have been announced for 1A and 2A boys and girls basketball.
Yeah, Nokomis and boys basketball gets a sectional this year. And Nokomis,
we know what that means.
Yeah, well, Nokomis will be
sectional
playing
sectional healing.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Coming to a radio station near you.
I've been trying to get that as a headline for so long.
There was one morning at 7:30. Sectional tournament came out. Sectional tournament, okay, at 7:30 sports one morning, and I just kept going.
That's one of those.
Mouth
do.
And brain don't cooperate. Anyway, Nokomis boys will be playing a regional either at Altamont or at Bethany in 1A.
Which I hear is lovely this time of year.
Well, just lovely, yes, absolutely.
All times of year.
All times of year.
And Okawville gets a sectional this year. And Lincolnwood will be playing either at Pawnee or Greenfield for regional tournament play. Mount Olive will be at home for a regional. They get it to host a regional, and the other regional in that subsectional will be at Valmeyer. Bunker Hill's also involved in that regional as well. In boys basketball in 2A, it looks like Carlinville and Hillsborough get boys regionals, and that's where a majority of our teams will be playing. North Mac will be involved in the subsectional B that will feed into the Stanford Olympia sectional, and they'll play either at Riverton or at Quincy Notre Dame for the regional there. Quincy Notre Dame.
Hey, voting for Riverton.
That Quincy go. Notre Dame, you know, I mean, with them being in there, it's kind of like Robinson, you know. I mean, they're just such an outlier. You know, I know in wrestling especially, Robinson's a great host, you know,
yeah.
but they're just so far away. It's like Indiana, and the same thing goes for Quincy, on the western half of the state. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Girls basketball in 1A in, the teams that will feed into the Arcola sectional. Nokomis will be in subsectional B, and they'll be playing their regional games either at Martinsville, which means you might as well go to Indiana, or Bethany. And in the other Calhoun sectional, Mont Olive, Wildcats should get a very high seed, if not a top seed. They'll either be playing a regional at Valmire or at Madison. Bunker Hill also in that sectional as well. And in girls 2A, regional tournament play, Waverly will host a sectional. Waverly gets a sectional in 2A. And in that subsectional A, Carlinville and Auburn will have regional tournaments. And Gillespie, Hillsborough, Southwestern, Staunton, North Mac also involved in regional play there. And Litchfield will play a regional tournament in 3A, either at Jacksonville or Taylorville.
So if you're going to the Waverly sectional, get there early.
Get there early.
Get there early.
Yeah.
Where's the North Green regionals and sectionals? I missed those.
Marty Rhodes is out of there.
Huh.
So how about that?
Interesting.
He's not the athletic director there anymore. So
I spent a month there one time.
Yeah. One night.
It's lovely.
Spent a month there.
There was one year where they had a girls regional, a boys sectional.
No, didn't they have like a girls 1A regional and then a 2A sectional?
And yes, and then a boys 2A regional.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, yeah, it was... You were on the road a lot.
I had autopilot. I just didn't even have to drive.
Should just set up
put
a
the car and drive
there.
And go.
Yeah.
And away we go.
And
coming up Monday night, we'll have Carlinville against East Dalton Wood River at 6:30, Bunker Hill against Litchfield at 8 to begin our week-long coverage of the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament. By the way, go see these teams play during the holidays. Support your local teams, and it's a good investment. It's good entertainment. It's not very expensive. And when you go, support the concession stands and everything, because these people are generally the sports boosters that help support these teams.
I was going to mention, too, that the Litchfield wrestling team is competing in Abe's Rumble.
Yes.
Which is, the last few years they've gone up to Champaign and Danville area. Some of the top teams in Class A, they kind of changed it around in Porta and Auburn have kind of taken it over and are doing it at the Prairie Capital Convention Center. I think there's 42 teams. Some of the best teams in the state of Illinois in Class 1A.
Does that start Monday or Tuesday?
You know, I can't remember off the top of me.
Yeah.
I don't think it starts, you know, it may even start Wednesday.
Okay.
It may be a Wednesday,
okay.
Thursday type thing,
yeah.
but Litchfield, you know, is one of the better wrestling teams in the state. Carlinville will also be there. I'm not sure if there are any other, teams, but that's going to be a dandy.
Yeah.
So, they'll do a really good job, Coach Hill and Coach Grimm from Porta and Auburn, respectively, have been around wrestling for a long time, and they'll do a good job up there.
All right.
That's all great stuff, and it's fantastic. But when are you getting your hair dyed, and can people
Probably.
Come and watch it happen?
No.
Oh, what?
No. Nobody wants to.
You might be surprised about that.
Watching get your hair dyed is probably like watching paint dry. But we will be videotaping it, and
documented
evidence.
Will you come in with a mask on, and then they have an unveiling?
No,
at the game?
I'm just gonna roll
okay.
out. You
okay.
know that it's
make it simple, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, I don't like being as odd as it is for somebody that dresses up in a bow tie and suspenders and is dyeing their hair purple. I don't like being the center of attention.
Hey,
so
good luck with that with purple hair, buddy.
Nice job.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations on your effort, and it's terrific that the high school got together and helped out. So.
Yep. Support the MCCA. Yeah.
That Abe's Rumble starts Wednesday the 28th, by
okay,
the way.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday
Thanks,
and Thursday.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Kyle, thank you so much for coming in studio.
My pleasure.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You guys too.
For David and Terry and Kyle, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville. Merry Christmas, everybody.